And then on Wednesday, our daughter suddenly rang us to say she's going to a hen party this weekend. Could we look after the dog? So it's not, that's not the reason he's not here. But yesterday we decided to go to Jimmy's farm with my son and daughter and the little one and the dog. A beagle doesn't like to be kept on the lead for 3 hours. And my husband has now done his hip in. He's woken up this morning, he can't move his hip. Plus the fact that when we first got to Jimmy's farm, I was telling David, we got to Jimmy's farm, we decided to have a cup of coffee, allow Pete and Beth and the Tobias to go into the park. That's absolutely wonderful. Then we decided, oh, we better go and join them. So we did. We paid our £30 entry, only to find that they were then coming out. So he had a trip to the loos, and then we came out, had something to eat. We did go back in, because I thought it was going to be very expensive, very expensive day. So unfortunately, David's done his hip in, so I've told him he's now showing his age. So I am here today. Song 358 is our opening song. Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Awake, my soul, and sing of him who died for thee, and hail him as thy matchless king through all eternity. Song 358. Let's stand and we'll sing the first two verses. I'm just going to ask John to continue to play the tune through a couple of more times. As we have our own personal time with the Lord, recognizing he is here among us. But he's not just among us. He's here for you and for me as an individual. And he's standing right beside you today. What do you want to say to him as he stands? Thank you, John. And dear Heavenly Father, we acknowledge your presence at this moment. We're sorry for those times when we don't acknowledge your presence, when we actually go off and do our own thing, when actually we don't include you in the everyday, ordinary things of our life. But Lord, as we have set this time aside, this is a time that we personally can renew that relationship. This is a time personally when we can come before you, see you in all your glory. Thank you for what you have done for us and brought us this far. And then wait in anticipation for what you want to reveal, of how you want to use us, use our gifts and our talents, use us as your servants in the days and the weeks, months and years that lie ahead. So we thank you, Lord. We thank you for this time. May we continue to just be aware of your presence today. Amen. Amen. Our Bible reading this morning is taken from Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. We're continuing and concluding our series of looking through Luke and how he told the Easter story. If you remember last week, my husband spoke about the walk to Emmaus. On Easter Sunday, we talked about Jesus emerging from the tomb, how the women went and they didn't find him. But then they ran back to tell the others. Then last week, we looked at the road to Emmaus, how the two followers are downtrodden as they walked away from Jerusalem. Their world had just fallen out, and they just didn't know what was to do. And so we pick up the story in Luke chapter 24, and it's verse 36, and it says this. While they were still talking about this is the followers, they've recognized who Jesus was, they've now returned, uplifted, full of joy, they've returned to tell the disciples what they have seen. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace, peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands. Look at my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophet, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead, and on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Amen. And we'll look at those verses a little bit later on in our meeting. But first of all, we're going to listen to the message that the songsters have prepared for us today.
I know we don't usually necessarily spend that much time introducing songs before we sing, but today, this is a new song. It's a brand new song, so nobody has heard this one before. Okay. It's a song called Promises. There is a verse in Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, which says, "I, the Lord God, hold your right hand. It's I who say to you, fear not, I will help you." That's a great picture of God holding your right hand. Now think about somebody holding your right hand, if you're right-handed. Is that God leaning down to sort of pick you up? Or is that God sort of taking you and leading you as you might a child? Now that verse was a very special verse to me a few years ago after I had the stroke. And it was a verse that I came across and it really spoke to me. God saying, "I've got this. I've got you." And a couple of years ago, in that first break after lockdown in the August, Libby and I went up to Norfolk for a couple of days, and we went to see Paul Winterbourne at Charing, and many of you will know Paul. We've been friends with Paul for years, and we were chatting with him, and some of you will know that Paul's wife, Christiane, struggled with cancer and unfortunately died a couple of years ago. But she had a very strong strong faith. And actually, even while she was in hospital, she had little promise cards that had verses of scripture on. And Paul gave us some of those cards. And on that card that he gave us was that verse. You know, I, the Lord, your God, hold your right hand. So anyway, that verse and others, particularly from Isaiah, as it turns out, promises that God has made to us, places in the Bible where God is speaking directly to us. You know, the words in Isaiah say, I, the Lord your God, say to you. And there are promises throughout Scripture. And that's what this song is about, some of those promises that God has made to us.
You are with my right hand.
What wonderful words that are so appropriate for today. Don't you understand? Did you never hear? Our Lord is everlasting. Jesus appeared to his disciples. He needed to appear before them in a risen state for them to understand. They'd been with him for 3 years. They'd been listening to him, telling them of what needed to happen. And yet still, they didn't understand. But we'll come on to that a little bit later in our meeting. So thank you, Neil, for sharing such a testimony with us today and sharing what God has done for you and through you. We haven't got a Sunday school today. We thought we'd give the Sunday school teachers a day off. But we haven't got a Sunday school. But I do want to use the children in this next section of our meeting. Okay, so I'm just going to turn on me. I think I'll be switched on. Am I switched on now, John? I'm on. I can move away from here now and you can still hear me. Yeah, if you turn up the volume. Are you all right? Can you hear me? Can you hear me, Mother? Right, then I'll begin. Oh, I'm showing me age now. Okay, children won't know what Watch With Mother is at all, but never mind. Right, the children in the meeting, I need you to go and find various things around the hall for me. Okay, all right. So you have to listen carefully. The first thing is I want you to find me something that has a lot of songs about it, about God's love. What in our hall here might have a lot of songs in it? Oh, the Songster folder, that's right. That has a Songster leader does have lots of songs in about God's love.
Absolutely.
Yes, about God's love. So we have a Songster folder. Excellent. Let me see. I want you to find something that tells people about what's going on in our church today. What's going on in our church? Yes, come forward. Yes, come. What have we got? Oh, thank you, Felicity. Oh, my goodness, Hud's joining in. Yes. Yes, we have Catherine. Yes. So, I presume that's you started doing that, is it?
Yes.
Or is it your grandma or granda? Oh, it is you. It's all right, they started doing the Bible word search already. Yes, the newsletter. Okay, that tells us what's going on in here. Right, the next thing is, I want you to find something that, and you might have to go a bit further away, I don't know, to tell something that tells all kinds of stories about how God loves us. What will tell us about God's love? Oh my goodness. You're going to try and find one, Felicity? Yeah. Oh, this is a very posh one. Oh, very colourful. Matthew, you've done really well bringing this. Oh, I think I might keep this one. Oh, it's very nice. Very colourful. Pardon? It's not yours, it's your... Oh, right, so you've... Oh, Bible! Excellent. Oh, my goodness, I'm going to be so weighted down with Bibles. It's... Oh, gosh. Yes. Something that tells us about God's love. Now, this one might be a little bit more difficult. Okay. Because we haven't been doing this. I'll give you a little clue. We haven't been doing this in worship. Okay, but I want you to find something that holds gifts. God gives us so much, and we want to say thank you. So every week we have the opportunity of giving back to God. We give back to God. So what might we give back to God? All right, there, Catherine. I'm being rich. Oh look, excellent. Yes, at the offering. Oh, thanks very much. Yeah, the offering plate. Yes, we give our gifts. I think I might have to put these down a little bit.
It's like a crackerjack.
Yeah, do we get a pencil and a cabbage at the end? I'm showing my age again. I have to stop doing this. He's getting one. Oh, yeah, come on, Matthew. Oh, you found one in the office. Oh, excellent. Excellent. Right. Now, this one, you might have to just point it out, or there is one, I'll let you into a secret, there is one in the hallway, but you might have to just point it out if you use the one in here. Okay, I want you to find something that is made by God that is very beautiful. Made by God that is very beautiful. What's very beautiful in here? Yes, the flowers. Yeah, I wouldn't take them off the off there. Yeah, yes, bring them, Matthew. I think you found some. Are you going to bring those ones? Yeah. Yeah. Matthew found some, but... Yeah. They were made by God. Yes. Right. Yes. Yeah, but... They're made by man, but hey, you know what I mean. Flowers. There we are. Okay. So.
Felicity was made by God and she's very beautiful.
I've not finished the story. I've not finished the story yet. Okay. Yeah, excellent. Right, so we've got a hymn book that tells us, got lots of songs in it. We've got the newsletter, which tells us about what's going on here. We've got the offering plate, because we say thank you to God and give things. We've got the Bible, because it tells us. Now, I want you to bring something to me, okay, that holds all five. So something that is full of joy of songs and sings songs of praises to God. Something that can tell God's story. I want you to bring me something that is beautiful. Beautiful.
I found something.
You found something. Okay. All right. And why have... So who's this? Introduce me. This is Auntie Angela. So, Auntie Angela, are you full of singing God's praises?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Do you know God's stories? Absolutely. And can tell other people?
Yes.
Okay. And you're beautifully made.
So Matthew says.
And you can tell other people about what's going on in our church.
Absolutely.
Today. And you can give thanks because of the various gifts he's got you. Yeah. You see, each one of us... You see, we are each believers, and we have to sing God's song. It's no good just keeping the songs in the folder and not singing them out. It's no good just having a Bible at home sitting on a shelf catching dust. We have to read it, and then we have to go and tell people the stories of Jesus. And we have to give thanks to God for what he has given to us. And yes, even though some of us, it takes a lot of convincing, but you know, each one of us is made by God and is beautiful in his sight. God doesn't make mistakes. He made you and me. So thank you for helping me this morning with our scavenger hunt. And please remember that we each have to tell God's story. Thank you. You can go back to your word search now, Catherine. Oh, does she need a... Sorry. Oh, to do that, you need to go back to... There we are. Yeah, take the Bible back to your mummy. And I think I better take the collection back. Yeah, who else brought me? I don't know who else brought me. There we are. And we'll have the collection. Yeah, it's still all complete. I haven't taken anything from the collection plate. It's still all complete. Okay, I want us to sing a chorus. There is a YouTube to it, but I don't know whether you know this one. Have we got it, John? I am a C. I am a C-H. I am a C-H-R-I-S-T-I-A-N. It's been wonderful these last few days. We've had our 2-year-old grandson, and I've had to learn to spell, you know, because he's not supposed to have C-H-O-C-O-L-A-T-E. And he's, you know... And to go to the P-A-R-K, we haven't got to... So I've had to learn to spell. So have we got this one up? Are you going to play it for me? Thank you. Let's see how it goes. C. I am a C-H. I am a C-H-R-I-S-T-I-A-N. And I will give you the rest of you, H-E-A-R-T and L-I-V-E-E-T-E-R-N-L-L-O. I am a C. I am a C-H. I am a C-H-R-I-S-T-I-A-N. And I have free H-R-I-S-T in my H-E-A-R-T. And I will L-I-V-E-E-T-E-R-N-L-L-O. Take a bit of a breather. Bit of a breather, and it's going to come again. I am a C. I am a C-H. I am a C-H-R-I-S-T-I-A-N. And I have C-H-R-I-S-T in my H-E-A-R-T. And I will L-A-V-E-E-T-E-R-N-L-L-O. I am a C. I am a C-H. Ooh, oh, I am a C-H-R-I-S-T-I-A-N. And I have C-H-R-I-S-T in my H-E-A-R-T. And I will L-I-V-E-E-T-E-R-N-L-L-O. I like how it says thanks for watching, okay? But please remember, we are Christians. And because we are Christians, we have to continue to give out the story. Well, I think Hudson and Solomon are going to go out with Christine. Gillian, sorry. I was going to say, who's Gillian? Okay. I have put some things down on the table for the children. If they want to, they've got some leaflets down. Catherine, have you seen these down here? Okay. You have to try and find Jesus. Okay, try and find Jesus. There is a colour code on there. So if you just want to come down here and fill in those. Has anybody seen one of these before? Yes. Catherine, let's see if you can find out where Jesus is on that. I'll tell you what, if you just sit down next to John and he'll explain it to you. Okay. It's all right. That'll keep him busy for a few hours, will it? It shouldn't. Okay, we're going to listen now to the band as they play their piece of music, Make Me a Channel of Your Peace, before we consider God's Word. Thank you. Thank you very much. Reminding us that Jesus brings peace. Okay. Does Matthew want to come down and do that here as well? Is he okay? All right. This morning, when you go on holiday, what's one of the most important things, especially if you're going abroad, that you need to pack? Oh, a passport. That's right. You need your passport to be able to go abroad with you. If you want to drive a car, what do you need to have? A driving license. Yeah, that's right. We need to have a driving license to prove that we can drive. Well, it proves that we've passed a test. Whether it proves we can drive or not, it's whether the police have pulled you over or not. Okay. What else do we need? Sometimes when we go for, we're sometimes asked, we don't make this, but we obviously, when you're born, you get given a birth certificate. Yes, I've lost my birth certificate, unfortunately. I'll have to go and buy a new one. So this is my husband's, just to prove that he was born on the 10th of June in 1962. Gosh, and it's lasted all that length of time as well. Yeah. And today, in today's world, there is another an important piece of information you need to have with you, is your COVID pass vaccination. Yeah, have you had your COVID pass? That's another thing that you need in order to get out of the country, seemingly, and to get back in. So your COVID pass. But identification is very important. We need to know who we are, and also other people need to know who we are. But this morning, as I said, we conclude our look at Luke's account. Last week, we looked at the walk to Emmaus. In the first story, two people encounter a stranger on the road who tries to explain to them that what happened and is happening is as the scriptures had foretold. They invite this stranger, they don't know who he is, but they invite this stranger to eat with them. And it's as they sit down together over a meal that their eyes are opened and hearts burn and they realise that they've been speaking to Jesus all along. And instantly, Jesus exits. But we know then that the two followers then decide to run all the way. They've had that long journey, it was ever so long, but they ran back with such excitement to tell the other disciples. And so, as I said earlier, we pick up at verse 35. And the two people hurriedly return to Jerusalem. They excitedly tell their companions what had happened to them, and it's at this moment that today's text begins. And the pattern repeats itself. The gathering of disciples encounter Jesus. He appears before them in the room, just like he appeared on the road to those two followers. But again, they don't understand what is happening. They appear to connect this figure with their crucified teacher, but they think he is a ghost. They don't think he's real. They're filled with confusion and doubt, just like the two followers on the road to Emmaus. But then Jesus seeks to explain what is happening. Once again, Jesus opens Scripture. He talks about Scripture. He opens the Scriptures to them. And then, by offering them his body, showing them the wounds on the cross. And then next, as he did at the table in Emmaus, he sat at Emmaus, and as soon as food was there, and he said grace, and he broke the bread, so too Jesus asked for food. And they gave him a piece of fish. So very similar in the two accounts. So what can we learn from this account by Luke? Today's reading offers three significant messages. It was Jesus, the risen Christ, who opened the minds of the apostles to understand the scriptures. Christ was with the two on the way to Emmaus, just like he is with us today. And thirdly, he is with us all. And Jesus commissioned disciples to be witnesses to his resurrection. And this theme continues in the book of Acts of the Apostles. For those who don't realise, Luke wrote Gospel of Luke, but also he's the one who wrote the Acts of the Apostles. So often when you read from Luke, you go then straight into the Acts of the Apostles. It's sometimes called Luke Volume 2. So what can we learn? The two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognised by them when he broke the bread. You see, Jesus appears to the disciples. It was important for Jesus to make the disciples known that he had risen. So many stories were going on about how the body was stolen, how the disciples needed to know. And so Jesus appeared before them. And while the two from Emmaus were talking about what had happened, Jesus himself stood amongst them and said to them, "Peace be with you." Peace to you. These were words with a new meaning now that Jesus had risen from the dead. Now true peace could come between God and man and among them. You see, and it goes on to say in verses 37 to 40, they were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. And Jesus asks, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your mind?" It always amazes me, at Easter we often term Thomas the doubter. But actually, all of the disciples doubted the risen Christ. All of them needed to have that reassurance. And he says, "Look at my hands and my feet. It is I. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." And when he said this, he showed them his hands and feet. You see, after Jesus died and came back to life, he came to the disciples again. And even at this point, he had to prove himself. Just like we have to prove who we are when we go on holiday with a passport. Jesus had to prove who he was. They thought he was a ghost or something. But then Jesus reassured them. He showed them the scars in his hands and feet. And he asked for something to eat. His body, and this is another important thing, even though Jesus had risen from the dead, his body still showed the scars. When transformation goes on in our lives, we may sometimes still show the scars. Because that shows where we've come from. It shows the battles we've been through. For Jesus, it showed that he had been crucified. So even though he was risen, resurrected, he still showed the scars of what man had done to him. The scars of the nails. And Jesus says, "Touch me and see." Jesus wanted to assure them that his resurrection body was a real physical body, though of a different order than our own. He wasn't some ghost or phantom. And verse 41 goes on to say, "And while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, 'Do you have anything here to eat?' And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it." As a demonstration, he ate in their presence. In most of Jesus' resurrection appearances, he eats with the disciples. He ate with them at Emmaus. Later on, we see that he goes and makes a barbecue at the beach. He eats with the disciples. eating is important. And in fact, if you turn to Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, linking on again with Luke, Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, and for the other disciples it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. You see, meeting together, being together in fellowship, eating together was important. They worshipped together. As a demonstration, he eats with them. The disciples were completely convinced that Jesus had risen from the dead. But they had a hard time accepting it. Even with Jesus there in their presence, they had their doubts. But Jesus opened the word to them. And it goes on to say, he said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. And he told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name." To help his disciples take it all in, he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. It was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day. Jesus wanted them to understand that the cross was not some unfortunate obstacle that had to be hurdled. It was a necessary part of God's redemptive plan for man. And that it would be in the name of a crucified and risen Saviour that repentance and remission of sins will be brought to the world. You see, he reminded the disciples again of all the things he had tried to explain before. But it must have seemed to them like the puzzle finally falling into place. Jesus truly did do all that he had promised. And he was passing that on to them. And then it goes on in verses 48 and 49. "You are the witnesses of these things. You've seen me. You've seen me crucified. You've seen me alive. You've seen the scars in my hands. You are the witnesses of these things. And I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Jesus solemnly told them that they were the witnesses of these things. Not only the witnesses of the events surrounding the work of Jesus, but also of the commission itself to spread the gospel. This was a work that they were responsible for. "You are witnesses of these things," he says to us. We have to tell it. We have to live it. We have to become it. The resurrected life is yours, and you and me, we are the witnesses of this in these days. As we look over the Easter story, it's not enough that the tomb is empty. It's not enough just to proclaim Christ is risen. It's not enough just to believe in the resurrection. At some point, we have to move from the event of the resurrection to it becoming personal for us. That we believe that Christ rose for me and for you as an individual. Experiencing resurrected life begins with recognizing the risen Christ among us. That is the gift of Easter. Gift of Easter, it's not chocolate eggs. It's not the Easter bunny. The gift of Easter is the resurrected Lord. It's the same at Christmas. It's not all about the Christmas presents. It's the gift of Jesus. He came to give a gift of life to show that we could be reconciled with God. And the gift of Easter is that that has come into fruition. Is the fact that we can have a personal relationship with our Heavenly Father, that Jesus rose, that our sins are forgiven. The two on the road to Emmaus did not recognize Jesus. The disciples, when he appeared, did not recognize Jesus. Jesus still needs witnesses today. There are men and women, boys and girls, who do not know who Jesus is. Some of them have actually been brought up in church. Some of them know the stories. They know what's in the Bible. They know all about the songs. But as I said earlier, and I'm grateful for Matthew for bringing Angela forward, we need to be able to tell the story. We need to let people know. We are believers. We need to let the world know that Jesus is alive today in our here and now. The gift of Easter is Jesus, the risen Lord. God talks with us. Can you testify to his presence in your life? Do you have fellowship with him? We have many examples in Scripture of where people, when they found who Jesus was, went and told others. We've got Andrew, who went and told his brother Simon Peter. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We found the Messiah, you must come." The woman at the well in the village, "Come and see the man who told me everything." The village, the people who had scorned her, who didn't want anything to do with her. But the moment she meets Jesus, she wants to immediately go to those who despise her and tell them, "I've met Jesus. Come and see what difference he can make in your life." Paul encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus, and Ananias was told to go. Ananias said, "Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much harm he's done to your saints in Jerusalem, and here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. You really want me to go to this man, to Paul, to Saul?" And God says, "Go." And so Ananias went on his way, entered the house and laying his hands on him and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you came has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled." God wants us to go on telling the story of Jesus. We might have to go to people who have scorned us. We might have to go to people who actually think, "They're the last person I want to tell about Jesus." There might be people in our own family that God wants us to tell about Jesus. But we've got to get the message out. So this, I think, is the most important thing we need to remember about a true encounter with Jesus. When we truly know him and he's done all this work in our hearts, we can't possibly keep it to ourselves. We should be compelled by what he's shown us and by the love he's placed in our hearts to help other people meet him and be changed by him. A true encounter with Jesus sends us out to tell others about him. The women at the tomb immediately went back to tell the disciples. The two on the Emmaus Road immediately went and told. The disciples told Thomas. The day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came, which we will be celebrating in a few weeks' time, the day of Pentecost, when filled, immediately the disciples left the upper room and went out into the streets and told others the good news. Can you, can I testify to his presence in our lives? Do we have fellowship with him? Has our experience with him been so real, so moving, so life-changing that it has caused us to tell others about him? Have we told others about him? What will you do with Jesus this morning? Christ commissions the disciples with the words, "You are witnesses to this." We too get this commission of being his witnesses. If we do not take on this mission, then the world will not hear Christ's message of reconciliation and forgiveness. Our Christian call is fourfold. We need to hear his word. We need to accept his word. We need to follow his word. And in following, that means we need to spread his word. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for the message of Easter, for the assurance it brings of your triumph over the death, the proof it offers that love will always have the last words. Yet alongside that message, there is another that perhaps we often do not hear so often, a call to action as well as celebration. You have given us good news. Teach us to share it. Lord Jesus Christ, you appeared to your followers, demonstrating you had risen, and then you sent them out to proclaim your resurrection to all. You met with them, and then called them to lead others to you. You gave them joy, and then told them to share it. Easter was not for the few, but for the all. Not just for them, but the whole world. You have given us good news. Teach us to share it. Amen. And as we consider those words, we're going to turn to a lovely song in the songbook 368, which clearly says, "Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus." We started our meeting this morning by singing about Jesus, stand among us. Are we certain that Jesus is with us? Are our eyes clouded? Or do we see Jesus clearly? And if we see him clearly, then what does he want us to do? It clearly says there, "Open our eyes, Lord. I want to see Jesus." Thank you. When Ananias went to Saul and he placed his hands upon his eyes, scales fell from his eyes and he was able to see. Do we need the scales removing from our eyes? Reach out and touch him. It was the woman who had suffered for so long, for 12 years. She reached out and touched. She just knew, if I could only just touch the hem of his garment. Do we need to reach out and touch him? Open our ears, Lord. What's God saying to you? What's he saying to me? Open our ears, Lord. It's not what I want, but what do you want in my life? Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. We're going to sing it through twice more. The first time we'll sing it as a collective, "Open our eyes." But then the second time, it's going to become very personal. "Open my eyes, Lord. I want to see Jesus," to reach out and touch him and say that I love him. "Open my ears and help me to listen. Open my eyes, Lord. I want to see Jesus." So sing it through, and then the second time, the words won't change, but you change the words. Make it personal for you and for myself. Thank you. Sometimes difficult to change the words. When you see a word written down, you want to sing that word. And it's the same with the Christian life. Sometimes we know what we ought to be doing, but it's difficult to change. Does God need to bring a change in your life, in my life? What has this Easter meant for you? Have you encountered the living Lord? Are you excited to tell people about Jesus? Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you explained your word to your disciples. Even though they'd been with you for 3 years, they didn't understand. And so sometimes, Lord, the doubts come into our own minds. And then we doubt whether we can do what you've asked us to do. But Lord, each and every one of us have the opportunity this morning to see you as the risen Lord, stood amongst us, stood right beside us. And knowing, Lord, that our relationship with you that you are with us all the way. You want us to understand the word. You want us to understand why you came, why you had to die, why you came back to life again. And Lord, we are your witnesses in this world today. Amen. Amen. Our song this morning, taken from 937, we are witnesses for Jesus in the haunts of sin and shame. In the underworld of sorrow where men seldom hear his name, for to bind the brokenhearted and their liberty proclaim, we are witnesses for Jesus in the haunts of sin and shame. Shall we stand and we'll sing verses 1 and 3, just verses 1 and 3, and then we'll end by singing, I serve a risen Saviour. Thank you very much. Please be standing. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives in my heart. He lives in your heart. We thank you, Lord, for Easter. We thank you that you rose again. And because of that, our relationship with our Heavenly Father can be renewed and restored. And we can keep on going with that relationship. Amen. Good morning and God bless.